You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ifa Funke, and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm very nervous because I never realized, I feel like I'm speaking in front of like the collegiate faculty of HAL, because I'm definitely a newcomer, which is great to be able to be humble enough to realize that and to be in that experience. And I'll just share my experience, strength, and hope. And hopefully I always think I'll run out of time, but I can be pretty lengthy. So I came into OA in my head as a fluke, probably about 16 years ago. I was in grad school, and I was gearing my way up to be a full blown alcoholic, and I was also smoking weed and writing my thesis and all that kind of good stuff. And someone was, an aunt of mine was saying, "Oh, I eat fried fish and I eat fried chicken and I lose weight." I said, "That's bananas. What kind of diet did I not hear about?" And she didn't tell me the name of whatever she was doing. And something in my head just went, "Why don't you try and see if there's a thing called Overeaters Anonymous?" And that was purely God. So I think I went online that day and I looked it up. And that was the very first 12-step program I've been since then. I've probably been to about five and worked the steps and other ones. And I went to my first meeting probably the next day, and it was a bulimics and anorexics meeting in San Francisco, where I lived at the time. And what was interesting about it was I was the heaviest person in the room, but it was like the first time I'd ever been in a room with people, because they were talking about an issue that I had, that I knew I had, but I didn't know I had. That's like the insidiousness of my compulsive overeating. It's just like, There's no limits. It doesn't make any sense. It's like I'm daydreaming and I'm sleepwalking when it comes to food. Like, I'll get back to the beginning, but just an example of what I mean by that. I remember one time I was like on a diet, one of the diets in my head. I think compulsive overeaters are the best dieters, mostly in their heads. And I had eaten a full fruit breakfast, a snack after that. And no, I knew this because I'd written it down just to show the point. A full sugary snack after that, a full like heavy, greasy lunch, a snack after that. I went home and had a pre-dinner. I had a full dinner. Then I had a full dessert and probably a bottle of wine. And in my head, that was like a good day. Literally in my head, that was a good day. And I think years later, I found that I'd written this on a piece of paper. And I was like, wow, that's insane. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. That's because in my head, that was like a good day. So I came to OA, and it took me 5 years to not feel perpetually different, just an inch of not feeling perpetually different. And I went into this, a fellow suggested this thing called AWOL. And I didn't know. It's just, I was just willing. What I've come to understand a little bit more today is my relationship with God. And God has this way of working in my life. I don't know if it's because I'm extremely stubborn, but I'll hear the same thing over and over and over, and then it'll be click, I'm ready to take action on it. And that day I was ready to take action. And AWOL was like an intensive 12-step with other people in OA, and we did the steps together. And one of the requirements was that you had to have a sponsor. And I was just willing to do something different, because prior to then, I think I'd been coming to one or two meetings a week. I'd felt a little bit of relief. And then it was just like back to the races with food and the irrationality and like the amnesia of compulsive overeating and trying to like deal with life on my on my own terms. But that was just like the coping that I had at the time. And I also had a lot of fear. I was raised by severe drug addicts and alcoholics that were pretty, very physically, emotionally negligent. And we moved around the world a lot. I was born in Nigeria. We came here when I was about 8. And my mom is kind of like this like world gypsy, and she'll just kind of travel to a country and then have kids there and then leave them there and then come back and get them 10 years later. It's not funny, but it kind of is. So because of that experience, I had a lot of fear, a lot of isolation, a lot of do-it-myselfness, a lot of like, I'm perpetually different because I never got the bonding experience, much stability. And it was just like a lot of fear and anger. It was fear, but it came off as anger, which turned into self-hate because it was like, why can't I understand the world? Why can't I fit in? Why does it seem like nobody likes me? And I'm in this 300-pound body that people don't like, and they make me know that they won't like it. So I just felt like a real outsider and real outcast. And I was really, I wouldn't say angry at God, but it felt like I had did something to him, her in a previous lifetime, and I was being punished for it in this lifetime. So back to the point, I got a sponsor, and it was really my first experience with a human. Not to say like we're normal in this program, but it was my first experience being like as honest as I could at that time with someone else, having kind of like a feedback in a relationship with someone, having some basis of trust, accountability. And in addition to that, I got to work the steps. And what was really cool was doing step one, it was like, wow, I really have a problem with food. I mean, you could see it. My highest weight was 335 pounds. I'm 5'4". I think I was like a size 28 at my highest size. And yeah, the insanity. I remember one time I made this chart, and it was like, it was a weight and a time chart. And it was like the arrow was supposed to go dun, 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 go down, but it just kept going up. And I think I said, when you hit 300 pounds, you have to commit suicide. That's literally how insane it was. It didn't happen, but I have suffered with a lot of pretty major depression and suicidal ideation in my entire life, really. And so I did this. I did step one, and I got to see how just unmanageable, how much pain I was in, really, and how food was a major part of that. Like not being able to fit in plane seats without extensions, which was always like, yeah, I'm fat, but I'm not that person that needs an extension. And then I was that person that needed an extension. Having people make fun of me, having like limited amounts of friends, limited amounts of like romantic options, being only able to shop at two stores, Lane Bryant and Ross in the plus size section. They weren't very young looking clothes, sometimes having to buy men's clothes, men's shoes. So how much time do I have left? Well, I'll keep going.
11 so, minutes.
10 minutes?
All right. 11 minutes.
All right. So doing step four in OA was also very enlightening because it kind of like was a very grounding step, and it showed me how I felt about things and how I felt and my part in them. Step four, five, six, and 10, taking like a daily inventory. And that was really cool too. I remember back then I was working this kind of corporate job, and it was like, I feel guilty every day while writing my step 10. And well, what did you do today? I browsed the internet and I shopped on Zappos and Amazon all day, but I feel like I'm going to get fired. And in my head, that makes sense. And then I write it down and I'm like, wow, I'm really not doing what these people have paid me to do. And I feel guilty because of my own actions. And then you get to write that down every day and go, oh, I can actually do something about this. It's not totally easy. I can turn it over and pray. So let's fast forward a little bit. I was in OA for probably 8 years, and then I got pregnant in 2019. And before then, I was always like, whenever I get pregnant, I'm going to be like one of those Kardashians. And in 6 months, I'm just going to like lose all 6 weeks. I'm going to lose all the weight. People are going to go, oh my God, how did you do it? I'm so disciplined. I'm amazing. And I love myself. And that's not what happened. In OA, I had lost probably about 165 pounds. And then when I got pregnant, it was just like, there was no joy in being pregnant. There was a little amounts of joy in seeing the life that I was creating. It was just, oh my God, I'm getting fat. Oh my God, I'm eating carbohydrates. Oh my God, I'm going to mention foods. I never ate my super red light foods or just my red light foods, which were like cakes, ice cream, cookies. But it was like the chips became acceptable. Burritos became acceptable. Pizza became acceptable. Fries became acceptable. This is just my own food plan. I just know that those foods, it's not just like I'm eating it today. The acceptability of eating it increases. And the worst part about overeating is the prison it creates of compulsive overeating or dysfunctional eating is the prison it creates in my mind. I could be at dinner at lunch with 100 people and all I could think of is, who's going to get that next fry? Am I going to get that next fry? When's the next time I'm going to have fries? Oh my God, I'm so fat. Everybody hates me. I got to get out of this room. It's insanity. It's pure insanity in my mind. So for a whole 6 months, it was just, I'm getting fat. I'm getting fat. I'm getting fat. People would have to go, you know, you're pregnant. And I'm like, oh yeah. And that would last for about a minute. And it was just the guilt, and it just kind of got out of hand. I was still going to OA meetings. And then 2 months after having my first baby, I was pregnant again with twins. And I gained more weight, which is like a normal thing. A lot of it was water weight. I went up to about 200. I went from about 180 pounds to 290 pounds on the day that I had my last cesarean for the twins. And that was just what was bothering me on my mind the whole time was my weight. And I just got tired of hearing myself say that. I got tired of telling my sponsor that. She was very gentle with me. And I knew that I was just going to get tired of it again. And the weight is a big part, but it's just the insanity of like the self-hate, fear and isolation spiral. That to me is just the worst part. It's like putting a cage on your brain and everything's on loudspeaker. You've got these megaphones pointed at you in this cage in your brain and they're yelling insane shit at you. And the world's like flying off bullets. I know that's like an exaggeration, but that's what it comes down to. Like anxiety, fear, depression, isolation. So my son, I had twins and I had three children in 2020, we tried to start a YouTube channel, but I was just too tired to do that. Go figure. I had three children in 2020. And my son, within 7 weeks of life, passed away due to immunizations, I'll be honest. He got his immunizations and he died that night. And I'm a business owner and I just gone through Corona, and Corona was a really interesting experience for me and my higher power, because it was like, the day I went back to my shop from maternity leave and my staff left was the day I had to close down my shop, March 17th. 3 days from that day, I got this brilliant idea that kept my business afloat. And I was like, wow, God, you're so funny. The day I have to go back to work, I have to stay. I have this brand new baby and I'm 38. I've never taken care of children. I've never been around children. So it was like, haha, God, you're going to put me on this like really long maternity leave. Oh, and I'm going to get pregnant. So I really need to not be working and I can still make money doing this thing. I was like, okay, you're kind of weird, but I get it. So when I had lost my son, I was just like, I remember being on the floor in front of my house at 3 a.m. when the ambulance were taking him to the hospital. And there was this one star and I was saying, God, I'll do anything. Just don't kill my son. Just don't take him. And my husband called a couple hours later, an hour later, and said he's passed. And then we had to rush my daughter to the ER that very same day, as my son was dead at Children's Hospital, because she also had a reaction to immunizations. So she had to be hospitalized for a while. And someone from this program who, I don't want to crosstalk, but what had happened from my experience in her life was just so amazing, of like a long time of fighting it and then being like the most gung-ho OA how person ever. I think I went to a meeting probably a week later, and then she called me and said, oh, I used to be a perinatal sociologist, and I've dealt with a lot of kids' death, and do this, 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 and this. And I was like, God, I'm still in a lot of shock. It was only 4 months ago, and I'm probably a little bit out of my body. But I was like, God, fuck you, but you sent me this woman that is giving me very relevant advice on what to do right now, and she's in OA, and she's in how. And then I was just struck with the willingness to try how. And I guess it was definitely about losing weight, because this woman had lost over 100 pounds. But to higher power, it was about having a community hold my hand stronger and longer, and to build my relationship, because I don't know what God was thinking, but I think that that would have been like the last straw for me. I've got, all of a sudden, I've got a family of five from being like single. I met my husband, and within 2 months of meeting him, I was pregnant, to this business. And then everything's just like, I mean, imagine being pregnant for 2 years straight. I'm still in pain from it. So I started the HOW program, and the I didn't even know how structured, I wouldn't even call it strict, structured it was, because I was like, I think I called her and said, oh, I'm going to have a banana and some oatmeal, and then for lunch, I'm going to have this. I thought it was like OA, not to talk bad about OA. I'm not talking bad about OA at all. But I was unwilling to go. I was unwilling and... Yeah, I was unwilling to go to the plan of eating that had helped me to lose 165 pounds. It wasn't like I was like, I'm going to eat a burrito today and I'm not going to do this. It was just like I was completely unable to go back to the way I was eating. I had no willpower. I just couldn't do it. So I started the OA program, HOW program, and she said, no, we got this list, and we got this list of questions that you got to answer every day. And for the first 3 days, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Is this a cult? I mean, yeah, I've heard of the people say OA is a cult, but these people are like on something else. And then I started to get happier, and then I started to be more willing to buy my food, and then I started to kind of enjoy the food. And today, I'm grateful that with everything else going on in my life, I don't have to have food on top of it. And what's funny about being an overeater is like having this disease my entire life, my brain forgets how hard it was to be in that cage in my brain. Like today, I'm like, I'm not going to go overeat or eat anything off my plan. I'm like, is it really that bad? Yes, it was. Being 330 pounds and wanting to be, and being suicidal a lot, weekly, monthly, is really that bad. And my life hasn't like, you know, made completely like, oh, but it's a lot better for today. And I've been reading the Big Book, you know, on and off. And what's really funny about this program is like, you'll hear something a million times, and then you'll go here a million and one time and go, oh. And what I heard this time was in How It Works, and to We Agnostics. And I never considered myself agnostic, but I always thought I was more intelligent than religious people. And I always thought that God could handle this, but I was still smarter than God in these other respects. And I'm not completely like free of that. But what I heard in We Agnostics was, you don't know, try something else. And then I literally said, I'm guessing there's probably 2.8 billion Christians in the world. I can't possibly be smarter than 2.8 billion people. Just a rough estimation. So I said, and I was raised Muslim. I was raised like an atheist Muslim. spiritualist, if that makes any sense, but it did in my family. And I like Christianity for today because it's in English, it's accessible, it makes sense. And I'm a very get to the point kind of person. Get to the point. Not saying other religions don't do that, but I chose Christianity because of that. So I started going to church. And what's interesting, and I've probably been going to church for about 3 months now, and I would never in my life have thought that I would be going to church as like an atheist, Muslim, spiritualist. 1 minute left. So that's where I am today, is trying to build, I wouldn't even say, yeah, I am trying, more conscious contact with my higher power. And it's amazing the way it works. The other day, my husband got diagnosed. I had to take him to the ER, and I was driving him to a hospital. And I said, God, you motherfucker, excuse my language. Two people in less than 5 months, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So we took him to the hospital. Doctor said he had COVID. He went to a hotel for 2 days or whatever. Doctor calls him the next day and says, you don't have COVID. And I'm like, what? And it turns out that he has cellulitis. And the morning after I'd taken him to the ER, before I could even wake up, 5 people from OA had texted me and emailed me, and I told nobody what was going on. And to me, that was God saying, lighten up. That's it for me. Thanks.